يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به، إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Last night we spoke about two features and two fundamentals of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen's policy and governance, and that was the concept of shura, consultation, seeking advice from people around him. And the second is the concept of equality or equity, that no one is above the law in the society, including the caliph himself. When it comes to the law, the caliph is an ordinary citizen of the society, treating people equally, men and women, Muslims and non-Muslims, rich and poor. They all have the same rights and they enjoy the same privileges. Tonight, I'm going to speak about another two aspects of Imam Ali's government, and that is justice and freedom. Imam Ali alayhi salam, if you open Nahj al-Balagha, you find him speaking about this concept of justice a lot, because there was injustice during his time, injustice or injustices committed by some corrupt people, whether when he was in Medina or when he came to Kufa. Therefore, Amir al-Mu'mineen gave importance to this concept. He says, بِالْعَدْلْ قَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Only through justice the heaven and the earth stand today. Meaning, if we have no justice in the society, in the community, in the country, everything is going to collapse. A society cannot be a productive society, a useful society, a human society, a civilized society, an Islamic society, if justice is missing. It becomes like the woods, like the jungle. In the jungle, there is no justice. Whoever has more power is going to dominate, is going to enjoy his life. بِالْعَدْلْ قَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. And he himself says, nothing can make a country, any country, beautiful and attractive like justice. Nothing. مَا عُمِّرَتِ الْبِلَادُ مَا عُمِّرَتِ الْبِلَادُ بِمِثْلِ الْعَدْلِ. Nothing can make your community, your country, your city beautiful, attractive, peaceful, enjoyable, adorable, like justice. Today, my friends, we have an increasing number. If you go to the statistics, we have an increasing number of refugees. Do you know where most of those refugees come from? Muslim countries. From Muslim countries. If here on the border with Mexico we have 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, max 10,000 people are seeking refuge in America, seeking asylum here. If you go to the Middle East, we have hundreds of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And thousands of them, they drowned in the Mediterranean, trying to cross. People come from all countries to North Africa, trying to cross to Italy, seek asylum there, and then go to Germany, go to, you know, other countries in Europe. They drowned. The last incident was just 3 days ago. A boat capsizes in the Mediterranean, and 200 people, they lose their life. This story happens on a daily basis. Why this is happening? Because justice is missing. If there is justice and fairness in their countries, Nobody would leave his country and venture and take the risk of death to go somewhere else, but because justice is missing. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Inna al-ardha," the country, ard here means the country, "latazinu fi a'yun an-nas," it becomes beautiful and attractive, "idha kana 'alayha imamun 'adil." Imam here means president, leader, political leader. Imam in this sense, it means if there is a fair government in any country, that country becomes most beautiful in the eyes of people. It becomes attractive. People want to go and live there. When Justin Trudeau became the Prime Minister of Canada, I heard from many Muslims in America and Europe, they said, "We'd love to go and live in Canada." Not because the weather is better in Canada or the economy is stronger. No, because they have a nice Prime Minister. Intelligent Prime Minister. Prime Minister who respects all minorities. Do you know that the Defense Minister of Canada today, do you know him? Do you know? Who knows about the Defense Minister of Canada? This is the most important post in any government, defense and the state. Who's the Defense Minister of Canada? It's someone who wears turban. He's turbanized, amama. He's Sikh, originally from India. He's the Defense Minister of that country. What does that tell you? It tells you a lot that that country respects minorities, respects immigrants, regardless of their background, religious background, racial background, cultural background, they are all welcomed. They are all welcomed. Because the government is nice and just. I saw a clip of him the other day. He was helping filling the bags with sand because they had some flood. So someone came out of nowhere and he was slandering the Prime Minister. He said to him, "Listen, because of you here in this area, we could not pass for half an hour." And the Prime Minister was smiling. He was telling him, sorry. Me and my family were filling these, were helping this, the people, the citizens. He didn't put him in jail. He didn't even shut him off. He didn't say to him, "Shut up, I'm doing my work." He was apologizing to him. He's an example of a human leader, good leader. This is how Muslim leaders should be. This is how our leaders should be. They have tolerance for a criticism, even if someone attacks them. This is exactly what Imam Ali says. Imam Ali says, "Don't be afraid of me to come forward and criticize me. Don't." He says this in Nahj al-Balagha. "Come forward. Criticize me. Don't be afraid. I would accept any criticism." مَا عُمِّرَتِ الْبِلَادُ بِمِثْلِ الْعَدْلِ. Nothing can bring stability and beauty and prosperity to any country like justice, when people believe in justice. People leave Muslim countries because the law applies only to the poor, not to the rich, not to the powerful, not to those who are in the government. Those who are in the government are always above the law. Who pays always the price? Someone who is voiceless, someone who is poor, someone who is not working for the government. He's the most vulnerable in these countries. Imam Ali says, no one should be above the law. The law is sacred. No one should be above the law. No one should get away with his crime. Everyone is responsible. Imam Ali was ready to dispatch a huge army, to bring justice to someone, to an individual, to one family, to one community. He was ready to do that, and he did it. In fact, if you look at his history, he did that many times. He sent an army to bring justice to one family, to one lady, as I mentioned last night. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Adlu sa'a khayrun min ibadati sab'ina sana." صيام نهارها وقيام ليلها. To practice justice, an hour of justice, an hour of justice is much more rewarding than worshipping 70 years and not knowing what to do, just worshipping up and down, like parrots. People who worship today, like physical exercise, up and down. They do 200 rak'ah per night, but when he goes home, he doesn't respect his wife. He doesn't respect his neighbor. He doesn't respect his partner at work. These prayers and these fastings are useless. Are useless. Throw them away. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Adlu sa'a," practicing justice for 1 hour is more rewarding than this useless type of prayers and fasting. وَجَوْرُ سَاعَةً and an hour of injustice أَشَدُّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ worse when it comes to God. It is worse to God, for to God, من معاصي ستين سنة, from sinning for 60 years. When someone commits injustice for 1 hour, because maybe in that 1 hour he is going to destroy his family, he is going to murder some people, he might convict, wrongly convict some innocent people, put them in jail, they go to jail, they lose their life, they lose their dignity, they lose their families, because of that 1 hour of one incident of injustice. Justice was very important for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he says, gives an example. He says, justice is amazing. Justice is very amazing. Even for those who are unjust, sometimes they need justice. And then he gives the example of thieves. He says, when thieves, they go and rob somewhere, a bank, let's say, they come back, they have to distribute the money that they stole in justice, with justice, equally to each other. So even the thieves who are unjust and harami and duz, sometimes they have to implement justice. If they don't implement justice among themselves, they're going to kill themselves. So they need justice. Everyone needs justice, the good and the bad. Where does justice begin, my friends? Does it begin in the Kaakh, presidency, palace? Huh? Where does it begin? It begins in your family. It begins with yourself. A person who is just, first of all, he's just to his family, to his children, to his brothers, to his parents. I have seen in many Muslim countries that when a father dies, sometimes, it happens a lot, a lot, a lot. I hear about it and I see it a lot. The father dies, he has an estate, earth, inheritance. One of them comes and takes the entire inheritance away to himself. He deprives his own siblings, his own sisters, his own brothers. And that person, he does a pray and he does fast and he goes to Hajj and his title is Haji, okay? And probably he does Salatul Layl too. But when it comes to money and dunya, he's ready to take away the wealth, the inheritance of his dad, and deprives his siblings. This is injustice. This is aggression. This does not please God. This brings damnation to societies, to the communities. Why sometimes we see some countries are prosperous and affluent and happy, though they don't pray. You go to their countries, they don't pray. They drink alcohol. And sometimes you go to countries that pray and they don't drink alcohol, but they are unhappy because of this. Because that one believes in justice. No one is above the law. The king of Sweden was pulled over the other day and he was given a citation. Do you know that? He was given a citation. Does this happen in our countries? Can you pull over someone who works for the government? It happens. In Europe it happens. I saw a clip of the king of Norway last Ramadan visiting a Muslim family. He came, he drove his vehicle with his wife. He came to their house in a modest neighborhood, modest house, very small house. You know, homes in Europe are like boxes, you know, compressed boxes, alhamdulillah. And they had a very small dining table, dining room. He sat with them in Ramadan. the king of that country. This is called justice, when he takes care of his citizens. And those citizens are all immigrants. They came yesterday. Some of them, they don't speak Norwegian. They don't speak the language. This is called justice. This is why Europe is flourishing and Muslim countries are going back. Do you want to know the reason? The reason? Because justice is missing. Islam is only shi'ar, only slogan. But it is not amal, it is not a practice. Amir al-Mu'mineen says we have to put justice into practice. He was the role model. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the leader of Islam, the leader of the humanity. He is our role model. He says justice begins with the father and the mother at home, with the children at home. They have to implement justice on themselves first, among themselves first, before they go to the government. My friends, you know why most of the politicians fail in our countries? You know why they fail? Because they did not practice justice at home. So when someone for 20, 30, 40 years does not know the meaning of justice in his community, in his family, in his home, he cannot practice that in his office when he becomes a politician. He can't. These things doesn't happen overnight. Justice is not learned overnight. It has to be embedded in ourselves, in our blood. Since we are children, we see justice visible right before our eyes. Then we can implement it. Then we can implement it. Same thing with democracy. Same thing with all good ideals. They have to be practiced at home. We believe in them. We really embrace them. We embrace them. Then we can implement them outside. If we don't like them inside, if we think that we are coerced to practice this and I don't like it, I'm not going to implement that outside. I'm going to fail in my mission. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. One of the most important verses in the Quran. When you judge among people, whether you are an official judge in the court or you are a mother, you are a father, you are a citizen in the country. Don't judge people wrongfully and justly. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Once, either say, I'm not good for that. I can't judge. Stay away from it. But if you are willing, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ, once you judge among men, among people, فَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, then implement justice. Implement justice. My friends, you know, in the Shi'i fiqh, fiqh al-imami, the fiqh of Ahlul Bayt, the jurisprudence of the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, when we need to do divorce, simple divorce, we need two just witnesses. Look at how justice is important. We cannot have any witness. A witness should be a just witness. Whether it is marriage, whether it is divorce, whether it is any type of witnessing, it has to be a just witness. Even observing the new moon. A person who says, I saw the new moon, if he's a just person, upholds justice, then that person, his testimony is accepted. If not, if that person only prays and fasts, but when he goes home, he abuses his wife, he abuses his children, he's unfair to his friends in the community, in the mosque, that person, his testimony is rejected. It's not accepted. He's not adil. Adil does not mean someone who practices Islam. No. This is misunderstanding. Does not mean merely he practices Salat and Siyam. It's not enough. Adil, it means he's fair in his relationship, in his actions. Adil is the one who does not steal. Adil is the one who's not dishonest. He's a truthful. This is a person who's adil. That type of person, his testimony is accepted in the school of Ahlul Bayt. So that is the third foundation of Imam Ali's government. What was the first one from last night? Testing your sharp memory from last night. Shura, Ahsan, Shura, not Ashura. Someone said Ashura. No, Shura, shura consultation. We consult before making any decision. We ask those who are aqil, not those who are not aqil. Don't never ask someone who is crazy. Never, never ask someone who has experience, who has reason. Ask him or her. This is number one. Number two, what was it?
Equality.
Ahsant, musawat. Equality between the citizens. If you are a father and you have many children, I know some of your children are closer to you than others, naturally. Some of them, you may love one of them more than others because this one is always with you, helping you, he's nice. But when it comes to practice, treat them equally. Treat them equally. A mistake that happened by Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. We can tell through his practices, our father Jacob, he gives a preference to Joseph and Benjamin over the rest of his children. That led into jealousy. And the jealousy led into Joseph being away from his father for 40 years. And the father was about to die. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He lost his sight. He lived for 40 years in sorrow and sadness because his son, he missed his son. So even a father, a mother, I ask mothers, if you have several children, treat them equally. Maybe you love one or two of them more inside. Keep it inside. Don't show it. Because that would lead into what they call sibling rivalry. We have something called sibling rivalry. There is rivalry between two friends, two communities, and sometimes between the brothers too. So you have to treat them equally. That was the second. And the third is justice, equality. And the fourth, guess what is the fourth one? One of Imam Ali's fundamental foundations of his government and his policy and his leadership. What was it? What was it? Of the governance. A government, a leader should be like that, should extend this to his citizens, to his country, to his people. What is it? Something without which we cannot survive. Again, we're going to leave our countries and come to America and Europe. What is it? Freedom. Freedom, my friends. In Iran, they used to say 40 years ago, Istiqlal. After that, what? Azadi. Hurriya Azadi. Even Saddam in Iraq used to say, Wahda Hurriya Ishtirakiya. Wahda means unity, Hurriya freedom, Ishtirakiya. Not capitalism, socialism. These are slogans, of course. But when it comes to practice, we don't see them. They just write them there. They chant them. But in the market, you don't find it. In the mosque, you don't find it. In the family, you don't find it. Among the friends, you don't find it. Under the dome of the parliament, you don't find it. In the press, you don't find it. No freedom. Imam Ali alayhi salam is a governor, a leader, a caliph, an imam who presented the Muslim ummah with a freedom. A freedom that encompasses all aspects of life, my friends. All aspects of life. Number one, freedom of thought. People should be free to think. If you crush people, oppress them, they are not able to think freely. The most important thing for each and every one of you, as a Muslim, as a committed Muslim, a practicing Muslim, is to be able to think freely. Don't be afraid. Tell your children not to be afraid. When it comes to thinking, let them think. Let them imagine. Let them entertain their reason and their mind. Give them freedom of thoughts. After freedom of thoughts comes a freedom of expression. Tell them it's okay to say, to speak, to criticize, but in a nice way. You don't have to insult others. You don't have to insult, But speak your mind. Speak what is there. It gives them more value. It gives life more value. It does not make people become hypocrites. My friends, when we are afraid to express ourselves, when we are afraid to think freely, we become hypocrites at the end of the day. We pretend that we are something while we are not that thing. We are something opposite. In some countries, people pretend they are religious, but they are not religious. They pretend that they love the prayers, but they don't love the prayers. They are forced to pray. This is not Islam. The beauty of Islam is when you have a freedom. If you want to pray, ahlan wa sahlan. You don't want to pray, ahlan wa sahlan too. You go and talk to your Lord tomorrow. I'm not responsible for you. I'm not going to force you. God says to the Prophet, innama anta mudhakkir. You just tell the people, deliver the message. Lasta alayhim bimusaytir. You don't go a witch hunt after people and force them to do this and to do that. No value in the prayers that has been done under pressure and under fear and under coercion. Is there any value in such prayers? Is there any value in fasting that has been done out of fear because people fear they fast? No, there is no value. You have to reach that decision yourself. Yes, the job of the government and the parents and the educators and the teachers to encourage, to tell the people the good things about prayers, the good thing about Ramadan and fasting, the good thing about hijab, why we should wear hijab. Why? Not just wear hijab and I don't. You have to listen to me. I don't care whether you like it or not. This is not the Islamic way. It backfires and it did. It did. And it damages Islam. It damages a human society. Imam Ali came and he said, people, you are free. The one who wants to come to the mosque, ahlan wa sahlan. The one who doesn't want to come to the mosque, ahlan wa sahlan. Who wants to fast, he is welcome. If you don't want to fast, if you want to believe in God, you are welcome. If you don't want to believe in God, you are welcome too. I'm not going to force people to practice Islam. Yes, I am going to encourage them. I am going to ask them in a nice way. I am going to remind them, mudhakkir, mudhakkir, reminder. Keep reminding. But you can't chase people and persecute them because they are not practicing Islam. Do you know, my friends, the capital of Islam was Kufa. And the capital should be very important because it is the seat of the Khilafah. Yes? The seat. In Kufa, which is the capital and the seat of the Khilafah, there were Jews living there, Christians living there, atheists, agnostics, living in Kufa, walking in the streets of Kufa. Never one day Imam Ali said to them, you have to accept Islam, you have no choice. Never, ever. This is why Christians at his time, they respected him, because they enjoyed religious freedom. And many, many of them, because of the character of Imam Ali, because of his tolerance, because him giving freedom to people, many of them accepted Islam. They said, you are the right person, you are the right leader. Read the history of Imam Ali. Many Christians converted to Islam because he never forced them. He never persecuted them. He gave them value and freedom. He reached out to them. He never marginalized them. He never banned them. At his time, there were temples, there were churches, Christian churches in Kufa. At his time, people used to go to their churches and worship. This is a freedom of religion. Religion becomes valuable when we fall in love with it, not when we are forced to follow it. It loses its value and its respect when people are pushed and coerced and forced to follow religion. And then the political freedom, the economic freedom in Islam. In Islam, you can do any type of business as long as you don't encroach on others, people's right. As long as you don't damage your society. As long as you don't damage yourself and your people. You can enjoy in any business. In Islam, we have the right of political parties, to form political parties. In Islam, we have the right of having newspapers, media, free media, to express yourself. This is what Imam Ali did. I told you the story of the mosque that was built right in front of his mosque, in his city, in Kufa, by a very terrible person, Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais. He hated Imam Ali. Him and his family, they hated Imam Ali. He said, I'm not going to pray behind Ali in the mosque. Ali said, okay. He said, I'm going to build a minaret bigger than the Kufa minaret. Imam Ali said, okay. He said, I'm going to go to the top of the minaret and insult and slander Ali. Ali said, it's okay. Free country. As long as you don't take arms against the innocent Muslims, do what you want to do. This is recorded in the history of Islam, in the history of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is Shia Islam. This is the authentic Islam. Is when a dissident, even though he's wicked, he has the right to criticize. This is the freedom from in Imam Ali's tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with reason, with aql, the most precious gift. And he said, I want you to use your brain, your reason, your aql, to choose. I will give you aql, and with the aql, with reason, I am going to provide you with what? With what? Freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. But listen, I'm not going to coerce you here in this life. I'm not going to coerce you. But I will hold you accountable tomorrow. If you make the wrong choice, you are responsible tomorrow. I'm not going to punish you here. But when I give you the reason and you still make the wrong choice, I'm going to hold you accountable there. It's like a father who gives his son money and he says, son, this is money. Yours. But if you make the right choice with this money, if you go and buy drugs and bad stuff with this money, I'm going to hold you accountable. And therefore, freedom is the most precious thing. But, my friends, sometimes some societies, they abuse freedom. You know why they abuse freedom? They make the wrong choice. You know why? Because they are not educated. This is why sometimes democracy does not work for all countries. It works for certain countries and it does not work for other countries. Sometimes freedom does not work for some countries. Why? They don't appreciate the meaning of freedom. They encroach on other people's freedom. So you have to educate people to understand the value, the meaning, the scope of a freedom. What does a freedom mean? Freedom means that I'm free to hurt others. I'm free to practice my lifestyle at the expense of others? No, this is not a freedom. This is not a freedom. Freedom means I have to respect others. I enjoy my freedom. I enjoy what I want to do as long as I don't hurt the society. I don't compromise the value, the norms, the accepted norms of the society. I'll give you an example. In an Islamic society where the vast majority of people are practicing Islam, no one can come and drink alcohol in a broad daylight and he says, I'm free because Imam Qazwini said you are free. Or God says you are free. This is not right. Why? Because the accepted norm of the society is not to drink alcohol. Is that alcohol is forbidden. So you have to respect that. As long as you live in that society, if you live somewhere else, enjoy your time. But if you live in that society, you have to uphold the ethical, the moral values of that society. You cannot breach the values of that society because you want to enjoy your freedom. Freedom has limitations and a scope. As long as you don't hurt others. You can do that in your house, not in public. You can get away with that. No one has the right to come and invade the privacy of your house. But But when you do that in public, you are disrespecting your society. You are disrespecting the majority of the people. This is the meaning of freedom. Let me conclude by saying that in the past, slavery was what? Was physical slavery. They capture some people, they enslave them. They take them from Africa, they ship them to America, to Europe, to elsewhere, and they sell them in the market. It was physical slavery. Nowadays, we do not have physical slavery, but we have, instead of that, what do we have? What type of slavery? We have economic slavery. We have media slavery. We have social media slavery. Now, at this time, we don't have someone who is owned by a master. He's not enslaved by the master, but he's enslaved by someone who is worse than a master. He's enslaved by his own desire, bad desire. He's enslaved by the social media, addiction to social media. Some people, they spend hours and hours and hours and hours every day, every night. They don't sleep. They don't go to work. They don't talk to their families. They don't pay attention to their children. Why? Because of social media. And by the way, many surveys and studies assert that social media, these Facebooks and Twitters and Instagram and this, and watching what this said and what picture that one said and what iftar this one had and what wedding gown the other lady had, this will bring you, ultimately will bring you what? Depression. Depression. Because you keep constantly comparing yourself to others. Constantly. You look at other people's homes, cars, weddings, showers, birthday parties, graduations, you know. And you compare yourself to them. Ultimately, it will earn you beautiful depression. So be careful of that, my friends. Don't enslave yourself. Do not enslave yourself to something which is haram. Don't do that. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam says, لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. God create you free. Do not enslave yourself to your greed, to the dunya, to materialism, or to the government. Sometimes if you are with the Sultan, you are free. If you are against him, you are not free. The Sultan enslaves you. This is exactly what Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan did, and Yazid bin Muawiyah. They enslaved the societies. They enslaved people. They wanted people to say always yes, 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 always yes. People had no right to say no. This is a type of intellectual slavery, psychological slavery. Do not enslave yourself. Be free. Be free, my friends. The most beautiful lifestyle, believe me, is when you are free. You can breathe freely. You can speak freely. One day you love to go to the mosque. You go to the mosque. You don't fear anyone. You don't go to the mosque because someone is watching me. Or someone wants me to go. I go by myself. One day I was in Saddleback Church. They were giving me a tour of the church. It's a huge facility. A lady came up to me. She said, I was Muslim and now I converted to Christianity. I immediately said to her, good for you, alhamdulillah. Wallahi, immediately, spontaneously. Good for you. Good for you, you became a Christian. This is a freedom. Go. Go to the church, go to the synagogue, but there is a responsibility tomorrow. Tomorrow there is a responsibility. I'm not saying punishment. I'm not going to use the word punishment. But there is a responsibility. God is going to ask you, why did you go to the Shia mosque? Tell me the reason. You cannot answer God and tell him, because my father used to go, my mother told me to go. This is not an answer. You fail. Why did you go to the Sunni mosque? Why did you go to the Catholic Church? Why did you go to the Baptist Church? Why did you go to the synagogue? Why did you go to the temple? You have to answer. I'm not going to tell you where to go. Never I would tell you. All what I'm going to tell you that you have to prepare an answer. Wherever you go, you have to prepare the answer now. If you fail, there is a liability. You have to provide an answer. We will continue on the life and legacy of Mawlana Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam inshallah. Tomorrow, the night of the 21st of Ramadan, the night of the martyrdom of this great, great, I would not call him legend. He was a human, humble human. And we learn a lot from his lifestyle. And I wish that he will accept us. During tomorrow night, Amir al-Mu'mineen would accept people like me and you to be his servants and his followers. He will say, I am okay with those. I am proud of those Shia, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. My friends.